Can you remember what happened? Like Burnaby went bankrupt and a commissioner came in and took over about 1933.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you remember if things changed very much when there wasn't a Reeve Council anymore?
No, not too much. No, about the same. But,
could the unemployed still win their fights?
Yeah, the unemployed was still underfed, see, one thing that he brought in, we're all behind our taxes, and the third year they go up for tax sale. So they would let us work out the third year on the road, so the ditches, cleaning out ditches and roads and so on, to work that third year out, but they wouldn't let us work the other two, of course, because they're hoping the next year you're going to get a job and we'll collect. But that's what went on and on. I did the same thing. I did pretty good on it. I made good money on working with my taxes. I do the job in the bottom. They give me a plot. See, you have to do so much here. That ditch got to be cleaned out from there to there. And I was a worker, a good worker, and I did it in about 3-4 days. So I got about $75 wiped off in 3-4 days, which is darn good money in those days, you know. That's how it went on. And things didn't change very much when they put the commissioner in there. No, it was practically the same. Well, same no matter who was in, really. You know, what could they do? Same as Pritchard said, Reeve Pritchard. He said, what can I do? I get the mercy of the governments. Mm-hmm. And so nobody could do anything. I don't care if I were in the council chamber, if I were Reeve and Burnaby, and holding the views that I have, well, I wouldn't be there. But, I mean, what could I do? I'd have a demonstration up before me in there, and they'd give me hell. What can I do, boys? What can I do? They won't give me the money. How can I help you? Simple as that.
If you don't have money, what do you do? Can you tell us some of the ways that you manage to do things without using money?
That's right. A lot of things. Yeah, that is when you're in a situation like that. It's like a stump rancher digging a little hole in the bush to make a cabin for himself and so on. As long as you got a few crude tools, very cheap, you can get by. You can survive in the bush if you know how. Nobody needs to starve in the bush. They know how to survive. You don't have to have money to survive, really. But we're so accustomed to having money to buy things that we're so helpless when it comes to a situation like that, you know, you're more or less like a ship without a rudder for a while. The Indians know how to get by. They know. They're accustomed to it. That is their life. But when there's an Indian getting fat, we're starving to death right alongside them. You know, that's the situation.
Tell us about how you made the paint go further. Was that on your unemployed people's hall?
What is that again?
You were telling us last time that when you were painting, there wasn't enough paint.
Oh, I can tell you all kinds of jokes, you know, about the dirty 30s, what we used to do in those days, make you laugh. We're faced with all these problems. What are you going to do? You got to do the best you can. That was one way we get around it. Getting around it. And, all about that stirring up the paint. That was Sid Edwards. Oh, yes, he was one of the leaders, too. A very good man, very good man. And there was Mrs. Norm down here. Was another one of the leaders, a good woman, too. But she turned out, I wouldn't put on that. We had some very good people working there, good leadership at that time. Some of them went bad, some went good, but we had some very good people. So Sid Edwards and I, we were fixing up we built that addition onto that hall over there, it's still there. And we had a pretty good stage worked out, you know, and I come in the side like the modern stage, only not quite so lavish. But we had a nice stage there, and we had a built quarters in the back for the caretaker, you know, 2-3 rooms there. And I did that all with bumming lumber, bought the time in our hands, so we supplied the labor. And we bummed lumber from this guy, that guy. So when it came to painting the hall, that was the issue. He said, this thing looks bad. It's got to be painted. It looks terrible. So, guess we'll have to try bump some pay. So we went down, made our rounds amongst the more prosperous brothers in Westminster, put the feed on them. All we got was, I think it was 2 or 3 gallon, which wasn't enough. It was a pretty big haul. And so we bummed this paint, and then and Zip said to me, this won't be enough. I said, no. I know, there were 2 or 3 colors too. We mixed it all up together, and it was all right. So, it won't be enough. I said, no, that's right. I said, tell you what you do, Sid. You go down to the grocery store, put the bead on them for about 10, 12 cans of milk, canned milk, and tell them what it's for, and that we're stuck, and we have to have it. And so he went down, got this milk, and brought it back. So I started opening up these cans of milk, and we had a great big tub, you know, to mix this paint in, you know. And started opening up these cans of milk, pouring them in. What are you doing there? He says, you'll spoil it. I said, oh, no, it'll make it go. Oh, you know, he says, that's no good. You can't mix milk with paint. I said, you wait and see. So I put all these cans in there, you know. And I said, now, see, let's get stirred. He started stirring. He said, this damn stuff won't mix it. I said, no, don't get discouraged. I said, keep on stirring, you know. So he kept on and on, and all of a sudden it mixed, you know, just like that. There's no time. It works. That's darn right. And they have a good paint. It was only a house paint we put on, you know, it's outside paint. And I said, we're going to have enamel now. So we got busy, we painted the whole ground darn thing. And he said, that stuff will stay on, will it? I said, darn right. I said, it'll stay on. It'll be there for 20 years, 30 years. So painted this, and gee, it looked good, you know. And it's glossy, like enamel, you know. And that's still on there, I think, because I don't think they ever painted since. I had a lot of fun over that. I really got a kick out of Sid. Damn, stop my mix, he said, you ruined it. Oh yeah, we had a lot of fun, you know, in our little way in those days. But matter of fact, I had more enjoyment, far more than I am now, and I got a business, sizable business here. But now I'm a victim of the establishment. In one way, I was a victim in those days in a different way. I'm still a victim. In another way.
Yeah. All right, is there anything else about the 30s around here that we should have asked you about or that you'd like to tell us about that we haven't?
What is that again? What is that about?
Is there anything that we haven't talked about that we should?
Oh, about the dirty 30s, the hungry 30, what do you want to call it? I guess there's plenty, but I can't. It comes to my mind promiscuously, you know. It brings back memories, and I think about something or other. There was a lot of humor, a lot of fun, and a lot of points to make people laugh today, you know. What they used to do, like stealing the toilet. Do you remember that one? I was telling you about
that. Tell us about that.
Well, the old toilet bust in the workers' hall up there, and White Hall. And the guy said, what are we going to do? We've got to have a toilet. And you only had one. You didn't have one for the women, one for the men. It was in common use. So we've got to have a toilet. Yeah, we've got to have a toilet. Well, I don't think we'll be able to bum a toilet. That's quite a little bit for one of the merchants to donate, you know, toilet. So another fellow and I were, there was another fellow there. I won't mention his name in regard to this, though. Anyway, we were going down Kingsway, and the little old office there had been lying idle for a long time, you know. This little place, not as big as this room, I don't think. This little office. And I said, let's look in there. Maybe they got a toilet. Maybe there's a toilet in that building. I got this toilet. So that night, we walk out there. We take it up from the workers' hall and puts it in. The next day, the guys come, and he says, oh, hey, toilet, where'd you get that? Who gave you that? Oh. Good friend, well, donated that. He didn't know anything about it, but he donated it. what can you do when you're in desperation? You gotta have it. And if you can't bump it, well, it didn't do anybody any harm. That thing was pulled down anyway, that old building. We're not hurting anybody by doing that. The building was pulled down shortly after that and wrecked, so what the heck. And it sure saved the day for us. Yeah. Just imagine one toilet in there at that time. I don't know what they got now. I haven't been for a long time. But the women, the men would have to go in and take their turns. And we didn't have all these plush things we got today, you know.
Color TV.
Yeah. But still.
Maybe that's long enough.
I think it was going back to the simple life, and it was enjoyable too.
Yeah.
Okay.